This is CliffCentral.com.
Isn't that just a beautiful Australian anthem? That actually is the real Australian anthem. People don't know. They think it's Waltzing Matilda, or they think it's that Advanced Australia Fair.
Yeah, it isn't.
It's actually Mick, me mate, the master fader.
They just couldn't afford the rights from Kevin Bloody Wilson, so that's why they had to go for Advanced Australia Fair.
You know, I went to his show.
What?
We did, back in Carnival City.
Yeah.
Remember, Damon's,
you came with me,
Damon's
right.
Wife was so offended, she forced him to leave in the first 5 minutes.
Really?
I mean, she lives with Mick, me mate, the master fader.
She does.
And she thinks Kevin Bloody Wilson's offensive. So when Kevin Bloody Wilson came here, it's like the King of Australia coming to visit, really.
Yeah.
He is
the real king.
He's from Perth. He's a real Australian. He's got a daughter called Jenny Talia.
Yes, he does.
She's great.
Jenny who?
Jenny Talia. So she opened up for him. Gosh, and she said, with a dad like mine, what else was I going to do?
Stop.
No, really? You don't know this guy?
No.
Oh, he's fantastic. The two friends who I also took with, I got them front row tickets, major fans. They now live in Canada, but they regularly, on the anniversary of the Kevin Bloody Wilson concert, send me a picture of the two of them with Kevin Bloody Wilson. It's their proudest moment.
Yeah, we went backstage and met him.
That's right.
And we chatted to him, that dirty old git. God, it was funny.
Oh, I just Googled him.
Yes, and what do you find?
Maybe that was the first problem here.
Yeah?
Okay.
What
His
did you find?
Publicity photos are very interesting. There's one where he's wearing a maroon blazer adorned with some what looks like ferns.
And I think they're marijuana leaves.
Massive zap sign.
Yes, he's terrific. That's Kevin Bloody Wilson.
And then in this photo, he looks like a washed up Ed Sheeran.
He should have been the Bachelor.
As if Ed Sheeran doesn't
he
look washed up.
He would have been
up,
a hell of an Australian Bachelor. I'll tell you though, Sheila's would have lined up around the block. All right, that's enough now of the
great
nonsense.
Great branding there, Kevin Bloody Wilson.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. It's 5 minutes after 7, cliffcentral.com on a Friday morning. Loads of good stuff to get to. I know everybody who wanted to hear about The Bachelor, you can find all of that in the First Hour's podcast this morning. Trevor Noah joked that not only did Prince Harry watch his wife give birth, it's probably the first time he's seen a royal family member perform labor of any kind. Which is quite clever. And we'll talk a little bit about the Arnold, I say Arnold because I've got Australian in my mind, but the Arnold Classic Africa, which is back for the fourth year in a row and once again aims to celebrate, inspire, and empower ordinary South Africans. Didn't you go and look at it, Ben?
Yeah.
Last time it was here. It's a great thing.
I think I went 2 years ago.
It's like, really good.
It's like the everyday Olympics, in that people are just superhuman, but they do all kinds of sports.
Yeah, they lift up cars. They
biggest multi-code.
They do dancing.
Sport.
All kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
It's really cool. So that's the Arnold
Classic. I had never heard of it until today. And
really?
I think it's amazing.
Really? So Arnold Schwarzenegger started this. It's called the Arnold Classic Africa. And it basically is an opportunity for ordinary South Africans to stretch beyond their circumstances and reach their full potential. And we'll find out more about it from Wayne Price, who is the founder here in South Africa. And he's also a friend of Arnold's. Arnold's coming out here, so we may get to talk to him as well.
And Wayne used to be, I think, SA's strongest man back in the day.
That's right. So we're going to speak to him. I'm very excited to talk to him a little bit later on. And we'll get to some news. But first, Leanne has a few things on her agenda that she wants to cross off this morning, some things that she thinks you need to know.
Yes.
You know, there are lots of stories that go around, and we're not going to get too political this morning because that's for all the other boring channels. And frankly, these days you've got the internet, so you can go on and find the election results as they come through yourself. You'll be as quick as any media house. Don't let them don't believe the hype that they know something that you don't. You can find all this information at your fingertips anytime you need to. So while we're talking about more interesting things, where do you want to start, Leanne?
This could almost be a said by CS story.
All right.
It's about a woman who made too much food for dinner.
Oh.
And God ended up answering a prayer. So there's actual proof that God does answer prayers.
G-O-D, God?
Yes.
So this sounds a little bit like a parable. Do you want to tell us how this happened?
Okay. So, a woman in the U.S. from Alabama, where people really do know how to eat big.
And
the credibility of this story hasn't got very far.
Yeah. She's usually got a number of her sons at home cooking dinner for them, but this time she was alone. She made far too much food. She made, let's just see here. She was cooking roast beef.
Right.
But she ended up making the roast beef, a vegetable medley, macaroni and cheese, Jesus. Green beans, corn on the cob, and corn muffins.
For just her?
Yes.
But then she's probably got a problem.
I think so too. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, she ended up with this whole table full of stuff. Now tell me at any point if you think that the story is made up. Or not made up, but if the whole thing was done on purpose. Okay, so she takes a photograph of all of these plates of food. She makes 11 plates of food, right?
Already there's a problem. Sure.
And then posts it on her Facebook.
Right, and says, I made too much food.
Made too much food. And so she put plastic over them, loaded them into her car. She then drove to a nearby park where there were many homeless people found hanging around. Mm-hmm. There she noticed a woman on her knees praying at a gazebo with her little girls beside her. And this woman says that she heard the woman say, Lord, if I could just feed my children.
Oh, wow. And she looked, and lo and behold, she
lo and behold, one of the kids tapped her mom and she looked up and she saw Colvin, this woman, standing there with the plates of food in each hand, tears rolling down from her face, and she knew that God had answered her prayer.
All right. It's a bit of a stretch to give God the credit for that one. This woman made all this food knowing that she wanted to give it away. And then she found, lo and behold, a homeless person in a park. That's never happened before. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't want to break down the story too much, but it just seems...
No, I agree with you completely.
Sorry. And let's go back to the elections.
Yeah. She's done it totally for the publicity on social media. I think the whole thing's really silly.
Any comments, Ben?
Yeah, it's bullshit.
All right.
Look, when you said Alabama in the start, that story went from an 8 to a 4 straight away.
Yeah. There you have it.
I do have a really good news story. I know that we didn't get to Sed by Sia, but I've got one. Can I do Sed by Sia this morning?
Yes, as told by Gareth.
So the Brownies and Downies Cafe on the corner of Long Street and Prestwich Street.
Yes, I've seen it.
Which has been a pillar of support for the Down Syndrome and mentally disabled community of Cape Town. Mm-hmm. Have been training teens and young adults with Down Syndrome and other disabilities in hospitality skills to broaden their future employment prospects. Cafe staff are trained in front of house, so they're not hidden in the back.
You can actually see them through the window when you drive past.
That's right, and some people just go for that.
Yes.
A few days ago, they shared a sad update about the possible future of their business, and it wasn't looking good. Cafe is owned and run by Wade and Wendy. Wendy's a Dutch national, but she's been happily living in South Africa. For the last 2 years, she's been working with Home Affairs to correct an error made in her paperwork, and there are so many people in South Africa who are doing great stuff here, and they cannot get a permanent residence or a permit to carry on living here, and then they have to leave. And she was going to have to leave. She was going to have to give up everything. By the way, none of it's her fault. It was an error made by the Home Office, and it wasn't her fault at all, and she was going to have to leave and never come back to South Africa. She would have had to leave her entire life behind because of a mistake made by officials. She left her job, running the entire training program for Brownies and Downies, as well as her husband, Wade, and she was ready to board a plane and get out of here. Well, it turns out that someone managed to, I think it was Kino Cummies at Cape Talk, managed to get someone at Home Affairs to discuss the 5-year ban. As a result of that call, the ban was waived. So Wendy gets to stay, Wade gets to keep his wife, and the Brownies and Downies carry on having the time of their lives.
Here, I thought the story was going to be a real downer.
Well, there,
Leanne, Mall.
They started it.
There's another story proving that the real retards are the government and not people with mental disabilities or learning problems.
Yeah, nicely put, Gareth. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, from a good news story to a kind of, let's file this under things that make you go, story.
You didn't like my Sed by Sia?
No, I liked it. Okay, I liked it. Right. And it's quite ironic that I'm the one who's taking it on the opposite side of the spectrum here. But there's a billionaire by the name of Jeffrey Epstein.
Epstein.
Yeah. He's a big American financier. He's made oodles of money.
Isn't he the creep who used to be friends with Prince Andrew and he had an island that they would take all those girls to?
That's him.
Okay. That's him. You guys do know Jeffrey Epstein. This creep.
Tell us about, well, we don't know him, but we know of him.
He is a billionaire and also quite a socialite. You know, at one point he was chummies with former President Bill Clinton.
Of course, Bill was always on there.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you know.
Yes, President Clinton.
I would just like to stand up for my friend Jeff Epstein. Woo! Go, Jeff. When am I coming back to the island? Don't worry, he's coming. Hold on. I've got it. I'm to Barry and Michelle. We're just discussing how horrible it was that you lost that election. Yeah. Okay, she's going. Hell yeah. I know Jeff Epstein. He's fantastic. I love him. He's the greatest friend you could possibly have. I'm a cheerleader for Jeff Epstein. My name is Bill Clinton, and I endorse that man.
Let's discuss his CV first. He's a hedge fund manager.
Yeah, which means he's a crook from the start.
Yeah.
Never mind. Let's drop the CV. Let's carry on with his seediness. Years ago, there were just these allegations that he ran a seedy network of underage girls who were often coerced into these sexual activities. Bill Clinton's name was also thrown in there. Supposedly, they would all enjoy these young underage girls. But officially as well, he was prosecuted back in 2008. There were 30 victims who came forward and spoke about how they were part of this sex pyramid scheme by Jeffrey. But nonetheless, his charges were dropped, and Jeffrey has carried on living his life, making millions and billions of US dollars. Up until today, he's a registered level 3 sex offender and only spent 13 months in jail.
Level 3?
Level 3.
I only know a couple of level 5 sex offenders, but never level 3.
You make it sound like something you apply yourself to and you get a better rep.
No, you don't just get a participation trophy when you're a level 3 sex offender. You actually get locked up.
So it's like the green belt of pedophilia.
It's like, my word.
Now, I'm bringing this story up because it's making me question where I stand and when we get over someone. He is someone who had this time in the sun in 2008, spending 13 months in jail. He's now a registered sex offender. It's 11 years after the fact, and people are now raising eyebrows at the fact that Jeffrey is building the suspicious compound at the Virgin Islands.
Oh, yes.
He bought this property back in 2016. At a point, it even burned down. There were some quakes around the Virgin Island. But now he's making more inroads and development on this personal property of his. And it's little things that are making people suspicious. Things like Jeffrey building an underwater office. And Jeffrey building secluded amphitheaters.
Oh, yes.
And Jeffrey having private roads on this property.
So when do we get tickets?
Legally, there's nothing wrong with what he's doing. But now everyone is going, there's something possibly suspicious about what Jeffrey is doing at the Virgin Islands. What's your take on this exactly?
Can you imagine the headline, ex-president suffers heart attack in Virgin Islands. There's Bill.
Well, ex-president hanging out with a registered level 3
high surrender. On Viagra.
Being wielded out with his cock so hard from Viagra. And Hillary going,
oh my God.
You went out the way you wanted.
If it was just another billionaire, you could say, oh no, they really, let's respect their privacy. They just want a secluded life. But a registered sex offender.
Level 3.
Building underwater things and private roads.
I'm telling you, I can see it all happening now.
Can you imagine how awkward the phone call is when they find Bill dead and they phone Hillary to identify the body? She's like, look, I'm not flying. Just tell me what's in the room. Young girls, cigars. Yeah, that's my husband. Okay, thank you.
Oh,
thanks very much. Yeah.
Save me the flight. That's him.
Well, a billionaire of a different kind, you're still...
We're not finished.
It can't get worse.
It's a great story. This is the theme music.
For the island.
As you get off your helicopter or yacht, they start playing this song. They give you a bag of cocaine.
No.
They give you a young girl. If you're a chalet, and then you dance with your tits out, basically.
Oh, God.
Everything wobbling. Everything hanging out.
No, they're into little girls, so
no,
nothing.
They're
jiggling. Yeah,
old people.
Yeah,
so
they're jiggling.
Old, dirty old men from the world of politics and high finance getting together. She's crazy like a fool. And then they jiggle.
Oh. There's kibbles and bits hanging out there.
I can see it now. I promise you, this is absolutely the place that Bill Clinton will die.
Can't believe a place like this actually exists.
Yeah, the Virgin Islands Department of Planning and Natural Resources is trying to put a stop work order against this project. But you think, on paper, is there anything wrong? He hasn't said that.
He's building his own, like, little Disney World.
Most people would want pedophiles to disappear to an island.
Live on their own.
Yeah. I don't know that he's a convicted pedophile. Let's just be fair.
Let's look at what it is official.
There are charges hanging over him, and they may all be absolutely true. He's got some very dodgy friends. He's definitely been accused of some horrendous things in his life.
All right, this is the official legal jargon.
What are the words, yeah.
So back in 2008, despite having more than 30 victims, federal prosecutors, worse than
everyone except Bill Cosby.
Federal prosecutors quietly dropped charges against Jeffrey under the direction of then Miami U.S. Attorney Alexander Acosta, who's now President Trump's labor secretary. Hmm. Instead, Jeffrey was allowed to plead guilty to a state charge, which resulted in him spending 13 months in jail. And as of this, he's now registered as a level 3 sex offender. Oof. Yeah, so he bought this property back in 2016. It's 165 acres of island. It's called.
All right, enough. I can't hear any more of this. All I'm seeing is like a whole bunch of old men.
Horrible, horrible images.
I get why, you know.
I can't think.
God bless the Virgin Islands. They're just like, please don't let this man do this here.
Shame.
It would be the Virgin Islands.
It would be.
It's so unfortunate. And isn't that right next door to Branson's Island? Mm. I think it is. All right, so there we go. That's a horrible story.
I told you on the other side of the spectrum.
Yeah. God. So a different billionaire with the name Jeff Bezos, has unveiled a lunar lander, which will take astronauts to the moon by 2024. That's just 5 years' time.
See, he has two billionaires. The one is spending a huge amount of his unbelievable fortune on a lunar lander.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is spending it on a sex island.
Yeah, allegedly.
It's literally the question that you ask a billionaire. What would you do with your money if you became a billionaire?
I want you to be honest, and I want
strippers
you to...
Strippers and blow?
I want you to look deep inside yourself, and I want you to be completely serious for a second.
Mm.
Face yourself in the mirror, and if you had billions of dollars, billions, you never needed to worry about spending ever again in your life, would you be more the lunar lander kind of guy? Or the sex island kind of guy? Be honest.
That's a very good question. And you would be lying if you said the lunar lander guy. It's just too much concentration going on there.
Too much hard work.
Unless I was one of the people going to space, then what would it be in,
well, let's
be
not
in
forget,
it for me?
Let's not forget that Jeff has been having this affair with TV presenter.
Lauren Sanchez.
Younger, better looking.
Yes, of course. And so Jeff is not above having a little bit of fun on his own as well, but he's certainly not Jeff Epstein. So,
yeah.
Listen, you got to just face up to this. Chances are, if you were a billionaire and you spent your life accumulating enormous fortune, you might want to spend it on pure hedonism, or you might want to build something that can push humanity into the 22nd century.
Yeah. Either way, it's doing your ego wonders.
Sure, of course.
Mm. No, I'm sorry, I would build Sia Land.
Sia Land?
Yeah.
Like, that reminds me of Never Never Land.
Oh, no. it's nothing seedy going on.
Just, send your kids to that
creepy
one.
Just
Terrence.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Track record or such things is great.
So he
reckons. I want to go to Sia Land, mommy.
So what is this
in 5 years' time?
So, you know, he founded obviously Amazon, and then his company is called Blue Origin. So this is called the Blue Moon Lunar Lander, as well as a BE-7 or B-7. I'm not sure how it's pronounced. A rocket engine. So basically, how he's been able to afford this is specifically because he invests more than $1 billion in Blue Origin every year through sales of his Amazon shares. So yes, the lunar lander has been unveiled for the first time. It was an invite-only presentation to media and space industry executives. And he is looking to send a bunch of people up in 5 years' time. So
cool.
And also, you know, as he states, getting resources from the moon, I didn't know there were such things.
Well, there might be just the minerals there that could be useful. You never know.
It takes 24 times less energy to get it off the surface compared to the Earth.
Okay.
It's like a huge lever, really, without the gravity.
Okay.
Jeff uses 24% less energy in a sex swing as well.
Yeah. And apparently
that's
the blue...
like he gets off.
Other Jeff. Yeah. Jeff Epstein. Other Jeff, yeah. Jeff Epstein's looking at this going, that is a terrible waste of resources.
The Blue Moon lander can bring 3.6 metric tons to the lunar surface. So, I don't know, what are they going to do? It's made largely of printed parts, this thing.
Very good.
I would feel petrified giving in there.
I'm all for saving the Earth and recycling, but if I'm going to to land on the moon...
Those first men who went to the moon, Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, they also had misgivings. It was made of steel, and it was NASA, and it was government money, and it was huge research and development that went into it. Don't you think for a second that they were terrified that if some little plate burst somewhere or some rivet popped or something, they would have been...
That's exactly
They would have exploded into a million pieces into the great vacuum of space, and that would have been the last of them. Of course they did, but it's brave, and Jeff Bezos is brave, and there is something about this that appeals to me. So much as the hedonist in all of us would like to be Jeff Epstein, I think there's a part of all of us who would like to be forging ahead with the next big horizon. Taking humanity into the future with confidence, printing parts and making a lunar lander. I think that's beautiful.
Fetching resources.
Yeah, awesome. Well done, Bezos.
I admire it, but don't see
This is the reason you need to be rich. This is the reason all of us need to be rich is because...
Is that the moral for this morning?
We can then indulge both our most animal instincts in the case of Jeff Epstein and our higher selves in the case of Jeff Bezos. And I think humanity would be better for it.
Why don't you just simplify that? We should be rich so we can do new and amazing things.
Yeah, it's not just trudge through life trying
to... Look at all of you guys being so responsible.
Oh, no, but like that's the thing, though. Like being making money in order to feed six kids are going to be average. I don't think that's how humanity is going to go forward.
Well, speaking
it's
of average,
it's not going to happen.
Leanne has six questions for us. If you answer yes to any of these six questions, science says that you are definitely smarter than average.
Oh, okay. Right.
Mm-hmm. So let's do them. Are you ready, everybody? We had a great English lesson from Leanne. I would advise you, if you have any time at all this weekend to listen to something, listen to the podcast from Tuesday where Leanne gave us an English lesson, mistakes that smart people make with English that you need to stop making. And go and take a listen to that and tell us if you agree. Here are the six questions that will determine whether you're definitely smarter than average or not. Leanne.
And you may be smarter than you think you are. So...
Huh?
Yeah, if you don't understand that sentence, then we're off to a bad start. Sorry. Number one, do you like to spend time alone?
Yes.
Yes.
While people who socialize tend to be happier.
Yes, not sure.
I'm on the fence with this one.
Okay.
It's not true if you're highly intelligent. In that case, socializing with friends will not increase your level of satisfaction with your life. So researchers followed people between the ages of 18 and 28 and found that the more frequently the average person socialized, the happier they were, but not the subset of people studied who were highly intelligent.
Hmm.
The more they socialized, the less happy they were.
Wow.
I understand this. So one theory really is aspirational. The smarter you are, the more focused you'll be on longer term goals, and spending time with friends is distracting rather than helpful. So if you like to spend at home alone to work on a project, spend time home alone, or to learn something new or to write a business plan, don't assume that you're a loner. You may simply just be smarter than the rest of everyone.
Mm-hmm. Huh? Okay, great. So that's the first question. Next.
Do you often think you're wrong? I'm looking at the one person who I don't think.
Okay, so I'll of course. Yeah. I have currently got a couple of burn marks on my face. Do you know what they're from?
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
I don't want to ask.
I had an explosion in my laboratory.
Oy vey.
With potassium chlorate and phosphorus. Luckily, I was wearing goggles. Okay. Otherwise, it could have got in my eye. I might have actually gone blind.
I thought you had, I thought you had one of those dodgy facials that went wrong.
No. So there are a couple of like little cuts and scars that I came in with on Monday. And I was meant to tell you the story on Monday. We just didn't get to it. But that's stupid, right? Stupid. I knew what these chemicals were that I was mixing together. I knew what could happen. And it's that was stupid. So, yes, I'm often wrong, and I think about how often I'm wrong. all the time.
Well, look, I think I'm wrong as well, because I know you've got to be wrong in order to make progress.
Oh, correct.
So that's just that's a reality I deal with.
Yeah, I'm also often wrong, but there is one thing. When I know I'm right, I am huge. I get hugely upset by people who don't believe me.
Are you stubborn about it?
Yeah. When I'm 100% sure of something, I'm like so offended that people don't believe what I'm saying.
Pisses you off.
Yeah. So if you aren't afraid to be wrong, if you aren't afraid to admit that you don't have all the answers, you aren't afraid to say, I think, instead of I know, then you're likely to be smarter than you think.
All right.
Do you like to cuss?
Yes.
I fucking do.
Conventional wisdom says people who swear tend to have limited vocabularies.
Oh, shit.
And the F word is your favorite adjective because you don't have better modifiers at your disposal.
But
turns out conventional wisdom is wrong.
Right.
According to this research, the ability to generate taboo language is not an index of overall language poverty. In short, fluency is fluency. Don't assume that you're stupid just because you like to use certain swear words as adjectives, nouns, and verbs, and sometimes all in the same sentence.
Yeah. You also, I've noticed that really smart people, they mix their swearing up.
Oh, they're very creative.
Yeah, they're creative with it. Mm-hmm. So they'll turn, you know, fuck, for example, they could use as a verb, an adverb, a noun.
It's everything.
Prefix, a suffix, they could use it as anything. Mm-hmm. It's great. Lord McFuckity Fuck.
Beautiful use of the English language.
I noticed
language.
In The Bachelor, they bleeped out the word God in the live show when one of them said, I swear to God or something.
Wow, they bleeped that out?
Yeah.
Sure.
Anyway.
You can get away with that even in church.
Yeah, exactly. this one rules us all out. Do you get up early?
Well,
yes.
Yeah.
All right. You know that they say, like the Wall Street Journal says, if you get up at 4 a.m., it's the most productive time of the day. And
I'm currently reading a book by Robin Sharma. You know, he's Deputy Jesus Christ and Guru Pitka rolled up into one.
Yeah.
And it's called the 5 a.m. rule. Uh-huh. He's talking about, you know, the importance of feeling invigorated at 5. Mm.
Well, this says...
He doesn't do it every day. That's
waking up at an arbitrary time won't help you succeed. Making a thoughtful decision to wake up at a time that's most productive for you is all that matters.
All right. Yeah, I believe that. You also get started early. You get everything under the belt before everybody else does. I love answering emails before anyone else has even come into the office. Cleared that inbox out.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting at your desk. You're ready. You've made a list of the things that you've got to do that day. You feel good about stuff.
Research shows that night owls, people who feel more alert and productive well after the sun goes down, are more likely to have higher intelligence, better jobs, and larger income than early risers.
Yeah, I hate having to suppress my night owlness, though. That's my one... I'm at odds in my life in that one degree.
Yeah, I have to force myself to go to bed.
Yeah, me too.
It's because I'm so clever.
So clever.
So very clever. Next question. Can you delay gratification?
Yes.
In what context?
We're not talking about porn and edging.
Oh, God, no. No, I would...
I don't know where that came from.
Jesus. I can delay gratification, but it depends. Like, for example, everybody has different gratification that they have to learn to master a delay of, right? So it could be food. It could be
or short-term versus long-term
doing
goals.
The things you love, going traveling. It could be relationships. Okay. and the joys of being in or out of a relationship. It could be money. It could be all kinds of things. Some people are shopaholics.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn to say no to your inner gratification urge.
And the way they tested this was simple. And
with jelly beans?
Well, I mean, it's similar to that advert that we've seen where kids were able to eat either one marshmallow now or two later.
And most of the kids went for the one now.
Yes. Mm. So you have a choice between receiving a smaller immediate financial reward or a larger financial reward later.
So it's my youngest nephew's birthday on Saturday, and I'm going to test him. What? I'm going to say to him, you can either have this present now.
But then you leave them with that marshmallow and you leave the room.
Yeah, right. And then I'll say, or you can have this present, which is much better, but you only get it in 6 months.
That's funny. So the present you should give him tomorrow is a picture of Sia in a frame. And in 6 months' time, it's like a bike.
Sure, I do have a lot of my pictures in the frame.
Then he'll never forget that. He'll never forget that lesson.
It'll be a good lesson.
He'll never forget it either.
I'm gonna experiment with this.
Like a box set of the coconuts. If he opens it now,
I'll film it. Yeah, I'll film it, and then we'll put this together one day in his 21st birthday video.
And that'll be fantastic.
Yeah,
and it'll show that if he waits longer for the larger reward, he will tend to score higher on intelligence tests.
So here, do you want to hear what Mr. Schmangel says as a quick interruption to this discussion? Mr. Schmangel says, I'm not a billionaire or a millionaire. I'm a thousandaire. And sometimes I like to spend some of my thousandaire money on a little activity of a sexual nature with the ladies of the Asian persuasion.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. It's my thousands, man.
Yeah.
What the motherfucking hell is going to – what else am I going to do with it? Peace. Well, Mr. Schmangel's good for you.
As long as they're of age and consent, go ahead.
Sure. Michelle says, I'm a genius. That's often wrong, and I wake up daily at 4 a.m. She's very clever. Are there any more?
One more. Okay. Do you procrastinate? I procrastinated on the word.
Do you percussionate?
Procrastinate.
Do you procrastinate?
Yeah, we all put things off, but few people would assume that putting off something important is a sign of intelligence. Actually, no. Adam Grant, a researcher, sees procrastinator as a key to innovation. As he says, the time Steve Jobs was putting things off and noodling on possibilities was time well spent in letting more divergent ideas come to the table, as opposed to diving right in with the most conventional, the most obvious, and the most familiar. So if you're putting something off just because you don't feel like working on it, that's one thing. But if you're putting it off because you don't feel like you've found the best solution yet or the best path, that might be the smartest approach to take.
You know, this could be one that proves I'm quite stupid, because I am not a procrastinator.
You just do it and get it out the way.
Usually. I don't like to have things hang. And sometimes I make bad decisions as a result of that. So I know it's not clever, but I can't help it. So this may be proof that I'm not smart. This may be what I've always looked for as the evidence of my not being intelligent enough to have succeeded in any way. And if I do procrastinate, it's usually because I'm being forced to do so by some extraneous force. Given half a chance, I would decide everything in the moment. And that's often a very bad way to go about your life.
Mm.
Because then you make a rushed decision, you do something, and the consequences you just deal with afterwards. Whereas if you just take a little bit of time and you maybe create some space and you procrastinate a little and you say, well, I'll get to this tomorrow, I'll get to this next Thursday.
Is there a better way of doing it?
Yeah. And then you could make a much better decision with a little delay.
I'm the complete opposite, but it's to the point where it's...
It cripples you.
It cripples me, yeah.
All right. Well, I said we want to talk about the Arnold Classic, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Arnold Classic Africa is back for the fourth year in a row. And once again, they aim to celebrate, inspire, and empower ordinary South Africans like you and me to stretch beyond their circumstances in order to reach their full potential. If you want to find out more about this, we have Wayne Price on the line, the founder, to tell us a little bit more. Hey, Wayne, how are you?
Hey, morning, Gareth. Thank you. Thank you for calling. We appreciate the support.
No problem, Wayne. And what you've done here is incredible. I really think it's just one of the most interesting things that's come up in recent years. You give people a reason to get up and go and get involved in an amazing activity where everybody can show off their prowess, whether it's in dancing or it's in lifting heavy things or if it's in amazing physical feats. It really is tremendous. So congratulations first and foremost on the fourth year in a row.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we are very excited. I can just describe it as an awesome project to work on. It's an awesome team to work with globally. And you know, it's all about sharing Arnold's vision about, he calls it his fitness crusade.
Mm.
He says he wants to get people off the couch, get them involved with something.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to create an equal platform for everybody to have an equal opportunity to compete or participate in. It's really great, and it's lovely to see that so many people are getting in and every year just growing and getting bigger and bigger.
Well, for 2019, apparently you've expanded to include 28 new sporting codes. These include pole fitness, which is massive in South Africa, 10-pin bowling, swimming, ring tennis, just to name a few. What other things can we look forward to this year that'll be different?
Well, I think that is exactly it. I mean, we're over four venues this year. We started in 2016 with just over 40 sporting codes. We've got now nearly 90 codes involved, activations. But, you know, to mention a few, like you've mentioned, I mean, we got Battle Heritage as well.
Yeah.
You know, the medieval combat fighting. We got we got the night run now on the Thursday night.
So do people dress up in medieval stuff and like, bring out medieval weapons and put on fake fights?
Get it, remember, it's so cool. It's a championship. These guys actually go to the world championship for the last 5 years.
Game of Thrones.
We're actually the world champions. Yes.
Fantastic.
And I mean, this is really fun. And the best of all is it's not just the guys, it's the girls as well. And it's mixed teams. Mm-hmm. You must see these girls. Tiny Petite put on this armor and they bash the hell out of each other. And it looks like, and I say, guys, what's the rules? I say, you're just not allowed to stab anyone. That's all you got to go in the head.
I think I'd rather go for the circle
really,
tennis.
It's really, it's an awesome event to watch. We got canoe polo this year. We got underwater hockey again. The sevens rugby and touch rugby is now part of our program because we've incorporated Crawford Santon and all their fields and pools. So, this year it's just insane program. We got over 25,000 athletes participating this weekend coming.
That's amazing. And I suppose for some of these people, it's really the escape for them from circumstances which they don't necessarily deserve, that they didn't ask for, that make it very hard for them to get through daily life. And this gives them meaning. It gives them a purpose and a place where they can excel, right?
Well, that's exactly it. You know what? I again take from our friend and partner Arnold, and he says, that, you know what, if you put 100 kilograms on the bar in the gym, it stays the same for everyone. No matter what your background is, no matter what your circumstances is, no matter what religion you're from, he says 100 kilograms stays for the same as everyone. And this is it. It's an opportunity where anybody can come and participate and showcase their talents, and also obviously for the federations to show and also introduce new people to the different sports, be fencing or chess, whatever it is.
All right, so let's just let everybody know the festival is going to take place at the Santon Convention Center. You've already mentioned Crawford College, Joburg's Country Club, and the Northcliffe Bowl. What are the dates, and when can we come and take part?
Well, the Gauteng Night Run starts on Thursday night, the 16th, at Crawford College. And then the full program starts Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 17th, 18th, 19th at the Santon Convention Center and over the venues. And just as you mentioned, we're also very excited to have the very first Arnold Golf Classic. And that's going to be at the Johannesburg Country Club on the Friday. And everyone's welcome to come and attend. The nice thing about this whole also is we've linked everything through the accommodation and also the venues through free bus routes. So once you've got your wristband, there's free transport between the venues, and awesome. Everybody can make a whole day and a whole weekend of it.
Is Arnold coming?
Absolutely.
All right, fantastic.
We obviously last year he had the heart condition.
Yes.
So he was traveling. He got as far as Europe, and then the doctors turned him around and said it's not they don't recommend him coming through. But he said to me when I was in Brazil with him, now he said if they have to attach him to a heart to a heart monitor, he says nothing's going to keep him away. But he's good. He's good. He's good and fit, and he's very excited to be coming out to this event again. As rightly we've said before, you know, Arnold's got a lot of history, yeah? You know, with his mentor, Reg Park, in 75, he competed in the University in Pretoria,
mm-hmm.
of which he retired. And that's where he retired and started with the partnership that we know now as the Arnold Sport Festival, you know. So it's great to be part of that history. And he absolutely loves coming back. He actually said to me in Brazil now, something that I did not know is that he nearly immigrated, he nearly moved to South Africa and made it a permanent residence.
Well, he's such many years back. He's such a great role model, but you and Michelle have done an amazing job here too. So I think the credit for making South Africa a part of this incredible worldwide experience is all yours. So there we go, everybody. 17th of May to the 19th of May, 2019. Wayne and Michelle Price and Arnold Schwarzenegger all putting together an amazing lineup of incredible events. And Wayne, have a really good time. We'll probably see you around there and at one of those venues in and out through the course of the festival. Congrats.
Gareth, thank you. And you know what? I always appreciate the support and from you and the team. You guys have a great day, and thanks for the great shout-out.
Thank you, man. All right, thanks. There we go. Wayne Price. Isn't that nice? Ben, you've been, and you loved it.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you think, like, sport really is the greatest thing to bring people together. Mm-hmm. I know it's like a cliche. Go to that Arnold Classic, and you'll see what it actually means.
Yeah.
Everyone, like, the amount of people who go there, and they can be someone for a weekend, is, like, amazing to see it.
No, it's very cool. All right. Do you want one other little bit of info? So, Pamela Anderson, you know, we haven't heard from her in ages, right?
Yeah, she's very quiet. Under the radar.
Guess what Pamela Anderson is famous for right now? What she's done recently that's interesting?
More animal rights stuff?
She's doing that all the time. That's fair enough.
Boobs bigger, boobs smaller?
Not necessarily.
New tattoos.
She's big friends with Julian Assange.
How?
That is so weird.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's so amazing how these celebrities find each other, you know? Always in a time of need.
Does she hang around embassies? I don't understand.
Well, she's been to visit him in prison. Pamela Anderson is a big ally and friend of Julian Assange. She believes in WikiLeaks and their mission to, you know, let out all kinds of secrets and to keep people in the know. And transparency, she says, is her big thing. So Pamela Anderson, of all the people in the whole world who you would imagine are now, you know, she's involved with Julian Assange. Here she is speaking about visiting him in prison. It's amazing. And Pamela Anderson.
Who'd have thunk?
Yeah, right.
Obviously, it's been very difficult to see Julian here, and to make our way through the prison to get to him was quite shocking and difficult. He does not deserve to be in a supermax prison. He has never committed a violent act. He's an innocent person. He hasn't access to a library, computer, any information. He's really cut off from everybody. He hasn't been able to speak to his children. And
Pamela, putting him in front of a computer is not the best idea in the world right now for his own happiness and safety, I think.
You know, public support is very important. Fundraising is very important. He needs all the support he can get. You know, justice will depend on public support. And he's a good man. He's an incredible person.
You know, we've got a bit of a history with Julian Assange. In fact, on our first birthday, I think we played out a live, it was the first ever live transmission from the Ecuadorian embassy with Julian Assange in it. Do you remember? And people were asking him questions. And it was really a CliffCentral.com exclusive in the beginning. And I know that he's a dodgy guy and that he's been involved in sharing state secrets with some very nefarious agents. He's kind of been a proxy for the Russians in many respects. And I've never been a massive supporter or a massive anti-Assange guy. I think that, you know, the world is made more interesting by people like this. And sometimes there are secrets that while they should be for the safety of people involved in military operations in the world, they need to be kept secret. There are also good reasons why things like this need to be shared. And purely philosophically, it's always better to have transparency. Just philosophically. I know that when it comes to people's lives and their security and the security of their children and that kind of thing, sharing everything is not always the best idea. And we shouldn't all be monitored. And we should be free to live lives that are private when, you know, we want to shut the door of our house. But Julian Assange, in some ways, he's a kind of a foot soldier for a new way of doing things. And while I know that he's absolutely not a good person for all the things that he's done, he is an interesting human being, and he's maybe worth paying a little bit more attention to. Don't you think?
Well, I mean, now that Pamela Anderson's come out in support of him, everything's changed. Can I just say she looks exactly like she did years and years ago? And the truth is that she had no plastic surgery to her face in her youth.
Yeah.
It was only her boobs.
She looks good.
She looks great. And I didn't. I really didn't know she was this intelligent.
After being stooped that hard by Tommy Lee in that video.
So much of hard.
And he had a massive cock.
Oy.
Wow. Okay.
You know,
that was like a policeman's baton.
For her to recover from that.
Let's just remember, long before the Kardashians or Paris Hilton, Pamela Anderson was out there doing that. So as much as I've said all this about Julian Assange, Pamela is also a revolutionary.
She's the real hero.
Yeah. She's 51 now.
She is the real hero. I mean, when all said and done,
she looks 30.
She's done more for this world than a Kardashian.
That's right. She has. Speaking of people who haven't done much for the world, William and Kate Middleton, or rather, sorry, Prince William, the Duke of Cambridge, and his wife, the Duchess Catherine of Cambridge. I didn't mean to make them sound like gypsies before. Here they are being asked about Harry and Meghan, which Kate must hate because it's, you know, it's always about Meghan.
Yeah.
And I mean, Kate's very, she's very, dignified. And she's higher on the pecking order than Meghan anyway.
Yeah.
But it might irritate her that this Hollywood starlet has come in and stolen the thunder that really was hers. I mean, she married the one, the bald, slightly less interesting one, but he is the future king. You know, Kate really should be lined up for all the accolades, but instead, bloody Meghan.
You know.
So it must irritate her on some level. So here they are, talking about how excited they are to be an uncle and aunt to.
Yes.
To the new addition
the
to
Sproglet.
The royal family. Yeah, so listen to this.
Yes, absolutely. Uncle, second time for me and you as well. Well, no, uncle me, obviously. Not you. No, obviously thrilled. Absolutely thrilled. And looking forward to seeing them in the next few days when he's quiet down. And I'm very pleased and glad to welcome my brother to the Sleep Deprivation Society that is parenting. So, yeah, that'll be fun to see.
So you're trying to seem so normal. William and Kate don't wake up when the child screams. I don't care what you've read. There are three or four nannies, some in some far-flung corner of Windsor Castle where the sound dampens away within meters of the door of the children's bedroom, and they are on the other side
no,
of the castle.
No, I disagree with you.
I'm telling you.
They got brought up by a woman who wanted them to be as normal as possible. And
who,
they,
Kate's mother?
No, his mother.
Oh, Diana.
Yes.
Gareth. Right. As you were,
speak, I wasn't going to say, speak ill of the dead. Go on.
No, I think that they probably do live. You can see from Kate's interaction with the children what she's like. And you can just see the love in Meghan Markle's eyes at the moment looking at her baby.
Someone's not buying it on that
someone's
side of the table.
Someone's falling for it on that side of the table. You people are such suckers. Do you know how Prince Philip was raised? At the end of a stick.
Well, yeah, I can believe.
Until he stepped into royalty.
You know how the queen was raised? She maybe saw her dad once a day, if he was around.
That I can believe, again.
Yeah. Yes.
And look at them. They turned out fine. They're the most exemplary members of the royal family that there are. Bloody hell.
I just think,
welcome to the Sleep Deprivation Society. Oh, Kate, I've got to fly a helicopter tomorrow.
Well, Prince Harry's back at work.
Oh, yeah. Is
he sinking draft?
Down at pub.
Yeah.
He did something for the Invictus Games, you know. That's his day at the office.
Fair enough. That's his piss up, yeah.
So they are selling tickets this morning for his Centibale charity. There's a big ball happening at Windsor in the summer.
Big ball?
If Sia could go to anything, it would be that.
Don't you guys want me to cover it for you?
I'm being mean, but congratulations to all of them. I suppose it's nice, you know, blah, blah, blah. All right.
sounds sincere.
Anything else from your side, Leanne?
I'm quite... look at all the tabs that are open on my laptop, they're all about the royal family.
Don't bend over backwards. I'd hate you to actually hurt yourself there.
Some people are saying that is the baby actually 2 weeks old because of some
slip
up that Harry made. But people were saying, the media said, who does he look more like? And he said babies change so much, I believe, over 2 weeks. Mm. But he forgot to say babies change within 2 weeks. So everyone's now saying, is the baby 2 weeks old, actually?
Oh, conspiracy theories.
Thomas Markle said it looks just like him.
Well.
All right.
Before George Meany comes
Samantha.
In.
Samantha wheeled up and said, yep.
You guys are never going to forget that wheeled up.
You did that. You said she wheeled herself up to the gates of the palace. I will never forget that. It's your words. Nobody else said it.
I was just painting the scene with words. Before George Meany comes in, by the way, after 8, we'll be releasing your interview with Pepper, the humanoid robot.
Yes.
And all leading up to My Future 4.0, which we'll be broadcasting from next week.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about My Future 4.0, because this could be very interesting, especially for people who are currently in high school, at varsity, or you've got children and you want to prepare them for a future where there aren't necessarily the jobs that are available right now. We don't know what the jobs of the future may be, but we need to prepare ourselves nonetheless for all the possibilities and advantages of knowing what technology might bring.
Well, you've said everything perfectly there. And what I like about it is the entire summit is very interactive. You aren't just sitting there and being told what to do, but you get to explore these different exhibitions around next level digital skills and also a career summit. You get to interact with some presentations from people who are talking all things future-proofing your work, and also get to see a bunch of different brands who are working in that space, including CliffCentral.com, which I think is very, very cool. But some career options that will be highlighted are the likes of coding, 3D printing, nanotechnology, some AI work, some robotics. So we got a teaser of that with Pepper the Humanoid Robot. So you and her got to have a quick conversation.
Yeah, that'll be coming up just after 8 o'clock. Yeah, okay, I don't see George. I don't know if he's forgotten his
message.
Yeah, we wait on a Friday with bated breath for George Meany, and sometimes he, very rarely, but sometimes he doesn't arrive.
No, not at all. Maybe he's on the way.
Oh, is he?
Because he and I were also discussing The Bachelor last night.
Remember George is like, I'm not watching that crap, and then suddenly here he is.
No, he is
Look, you became a major Bachelor fan.
50,000 emojis as reactions.
Good morning.
What car does Lee drive?
I don't know what car he drives, but he made the wrong choice.
You would have gone with Jazan,
I'm with
right?
Yeah.
I should have followed what my wife said all from the beginning.
She was right about Jazan.
She said, probably midway, she said,
that's the girl.
That's the one.
I was there too, definitely.
Yeah. So I thought Gina, and then I changed my mind at the end. I thought, something's up with this Jazan or Yazan.
Mm.
And then he chose Gina.
George, there's still hope they could end up together.
I'm collecting some serious money this morning from Leanne, Ben, and Sia.
George, maybe you can have the final say as to what we do. Technically, do we give Gareth money or not?
He chose Gina. That was the only rule. We didn't say they needed to be together forever in a castle on a hill. Right.
Firstly, they're not together anymore. And secondly, he could get together with Yazan.
He her. But then stop being a moron.
He can also get syphilis in Bali. But I mean, that's not what we care about.
Yeah. Give me money.
I'm on Gareth's side. It was about the choice.
Money. I'll honor my word.
I'll think about it for a few days.
I'll honor my word.
All right, George, what's happening?
Well, I don't know if you know who Tasman Pepper is.
Yes, you told us about Tasman Pepper. I saw you in a clip of Tasman Pepper on TV the other day.
Yes, so she's a bit of a rising star in the W Series, which is a women's formula series.
Yes.
Which took place in Hockenheim last weekend, which is, it's called the Formula 3 Series, and it's set up to try and get women into Formula 1.
Mm-hmm.
And Tasman started 18th, started 16th and ended 8th.
Very nice.
Which is amazing. So she got some points, and she is the only person or woman in the W Series. You can't have a guy in the W Series, I guess. Mm-hmm. In Africa.
That's very good. Well, we've got to back her. When is she racing again? Do you know?
Well, it's every 2 weeks, I think, and the W Series will be almost like the Formula One. Awesome.
Very good.
All right. Well, good for Tasman
That's
Pepper.
That's great.
Yeah. See, I did see you in the clip. You were handing over some kind of award to her or something.
Well, she was part of the awards ceremony, and and so was Ian Schechter, and we were lucky enough to have her there
at the Car of the Year.
At the Car of the Year.
Very nice.
Yeah, very nice.
All right.
And so
bring her in here one morning when she's around.
We'll definitely try and do that when she gets back from her W Series.
Cool.
And then there's a company called Enterprise who wants to be the Netflix for cars.
How
they've launched a subscription service. So you can pay $1,499 per month, which I think is a lot of freaking money. You get access to a range of cars that you can switch out up to four times a month.
Oh, I like this a lot.
Sure. Very good for indecisive people, hey?
No, but I like this because you do want to change it up.
Yeah. So you can do exciting. You can do 3,000 miles per month.
Can't someone do that here?
Yeah.
A lot of capital, Gareth. You need a lot of capital to get this going.
You do.
There are lots of people with lots of money, Ben. I'm sure one of them is thinking about this right now.
I think it's brilliant. Being able to swap your car. I mean, obviously it's not going to be exotic cars and, Jaguar F-Types and Porsche 911s, but for $1,500 a month, which is what, roughly about 20,000 rand a month.
Even if it was average cars, imagine you do this for a year before you buy a car.
Well, it's great
to see what you what there
good
is.
For that,
it's great for philanderers as well because you can be seen in different cars all the time. You can cover your tracks
and criminals.
Yeah, it's that guy, Gerald.
Bank robbers.
Jared in the Ford Focus. I drive a Honda Ballard. What are you talking about?
Good point, Ben.
Squeaky clean.
Like it when you see an opportunity.
All right, clever.
Very clever.
Enterprise.
Very clever. All right. And then I'll be going to the London Motor and Tech Show next week, which showcases the latest innovation in automotive technology. I'll be taking Charlene Clark with me, who is a well-known South African journalist.
Yes.
Charlene has won many, many accolades, including Journalist of the Year. She was one of the judges on the Auto Trader Car of the Year, and she is a judge on South Africa's Women's World Car of the Year.
Is that your way of nicely breaking you not taking Sia?
No,
basically.
Exactly. Damn, I had to break it to him last
trying month. Trying to justify it.
Said to him, you were wrong. You were wrong about the Bachelor. I'm not taking you anymore.
Shame.
Well, there we go. So that sounds exciting. You'll tell us what happens in London.
I will. So I will be coming to your show live from London next Friday morning.
Awesome. I look forward to it. Very good, George. Have an excellent weekend, everybody. We will see you on Monday between 6 and 9. The unnews on the way. And then if you want to get hold of us over the course of the next couple of days, you want to give us feedback on any of our podcasts, you can download, of course, any of our podcast series just by going to cliffcentral.com. And, you can email me, gareth@cliffcentral.com, if you want to as well. We answer all the emails, don't we, Sia?
Yeah, bo.
Every last one. All right. So here it is, the unnews, for this morning and for your listening pleasure. The ANC are mostly satisfied with how the votes are coming in and their nearly 60% tally. The Black First Land First Party is outraged. They were hoping to have enough votes to get at least 4 seats in Parliament. 4 seats in Parliament certainly beats 4 seats in a bus shelter. But back to the latter, they go, as nobody really cares about them. Major controversy in South Africa's version of The Bachelor. Lee chose Gina, but they've already broken up. Rumors are naturally circulating as to why this happened, but Lee simply said he likes having so many chicks talking to him in clubs. Some even show him their tits, and he says this is life as he actually wants it. It was translated for me by Leanne Moll.
Yes.
20 days into the Cricket World Cup, and the Indian underworld is still uncertain about who to fix the tournament around. They want India to win, but there are also no profits in that. Afghanistan is just too unbelievable, so the word is that they are angling for teams to give the Proteas an easy run to the final. To make sure this will happen, they've deployed their best facilitator, a tall man who turns 50 this year and goes by the codename of Fancy Bronier. All right, have a good weekend, and to make sure you have a good weekend, go to Jeffrey Epstein's Island, everybody. That's where it's all happening.
Fun
this
and games.
Yes.
This is CliffCentral.com.